The next case up for argument is 2015-1432, Mann v. Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. Mr. Morton, when you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Alex Morton on behalf of the taxpayer, Sam Mann. You know, a lot of what I said on the previous case you just heard is true of this one. We issued a subpoena again for the fiscal officer's representatives to come into court to the Board of Revision in Cuyahoga County so we could get to the basis of their $88,000 valuation of this property. I've got the information in the record about how they calculate this, the computer-assisted mass appraisal where they chooses, you know, they choose five properties in the neighborhood. And these weren't even on the same, they're not on the same street. He chooses five properties in the neighborhood and comes up with a value. $88,000 for that property, which was purchased for $6,000 3 years earlier.
So I have a question about the BTA decision, and maybe you can help me out.
Okay.
And I'm on page 3, and they're discussing a transfer from Givaldig to Sam Mann on March 9th, 2010. They don't find that to be reliable. I'm looking through the record, and it seems to be your contention all along that there was a transfer from MDA fund to Givaldig in November of 2009 for $6,000. And there's a quit claim deed in here which shows that transfer in consideration of $6,000. I guess I'm a little perplexed as to why the BTA did not discuss that transfer. Do you have any explanation for why that might be?
I can't remember. I know that Mr. Victor appeared at the Board of Tax Appeals hearing and was cross-examined by Mr. Ordini. So he had something to say about it. I mean, I would say this, and I believe it's in the record somewhere. I may have verbally placed it on the record at the Board of Revision hearing. But, I mean, this was a sale. These properties are advertised on the internet by HUD or whoever, the fund who's selling it. They're advertised on the internet. These are all arm's length properties. These guys are trying to, whoever's selling that property is trying to unload it for the best price they can get. So they're exposed to on the internet. They're arm's length transactions. But our concern isn't so much with that. I mean, we should have had the right to attack the fiscal officer's appraisal of $88,000 right back at the Board of Revision. Instead, we had to go to Columbus to get testimony, and now we've had to appeal up here. We were not able to get a deposition in, you know, getting final results on the computer-assisted mass appraisal system. But, I mean, that's the issue we're raising, is that we had the right to cross-examine in Cuyahoga County. The local Board of Revision does not permit that. There have been subsequent cases they're not honoring subpoenas, and that is a violation of due process. Goldberg versus Kelly, a welfare recipient, has the right to a hearing where they can confront the government. These people aren't welfare recipients. These people are taxpayers. And let me point out what I believe is the trump card here, okay? The trump card is we have a constitutional provision in Ohio that says, Article 12, Section 2, you cannot tax more than 1% of the true value in money. That is the provision, that is the fundamental law in Ohio with respect to real estate taxation, is a limitation, an absolute limitation. The burden of proof should be on the county fiscal officer in every case to show that his appraisal is within the limitation, the 1% limitation, the 10 mil limitation. That's the fundamental law in Ohio. There's nothing higher than that. That's what our Constitution has to state about real property taxation. So if this court wants to ignore the Constitution, again, that's its prerogative. But people will take action by not paying their taxes. There also is case law saying taxing statutes are to be strictly interpreted in favor of the taxpayer against the state. That's always been the law in Ohio until recent years, where the need for maximizing government revenue seems to take priority.
Well, that was the Watson case, and I think the question there was whether certain, I believe it was stock purchases, were subject to tax. I mean, no one here is contesting that this property is not subject to tax. It's just, what is the value once you...
Right. But if you can play with true value, if you can play with that term, in other words, if you can say the properties in the Ross and Schwartz cases were worth $137,000 and $128,000, if the county fiscal officer can come up with a proposal like that and get it by the local Board of Revision and get it by the Board of Tax Appeals and have to go all the way to Ohio Supreme Court, then I'm suggesting to you that the taxing authorities in this state are thumbing, and in Cuyahoga County, not the state, it's always Cuyahoga County. It's always Cuyahoga County. Our former auditor and a county commissioner are in prison now, partially for these reasons, for inflated tax values, among other corruption. If you can play with the term true value, then you can ignore the Constitution. And that's what's done in Cuyahoga County. And again, the evidence is empirical. The evidence is the number of appeals coming out of Cuyahoga County, clogging the BTA and clogging this court. So the issues are issues of law. They're not issues of fact. Justices French and Kennedy, their dissent in Ross and Schwartz was wrong. Justice Kennedy was wrong when she dissented in, Justice French was wrong when she dissented in the Akron City Schools case, which set the 24-month limit. She was the only dissenter in that case. She called it a question of fact when the entire rest of the court called it a question of law, including Justices Pfeiffer and Lanzinger, who were replaced in the last election due to retirement. And so the new justices on the court were convinced, apparently by Justices French and Kennedy, after this delay, they were convinced that what is clearly a question of law is in fact a question of fact, and it isn't. So again, this court's responsibility is to enforce the law, to enforce the Constitution, to make sure the rule of law prevails in Cuyahoga County when the fiscal officer is appraising property. And again, if this court doesn't want to do that, then my prediction is people in Cuyahoga County are going to stop paying taxes, or another alternative is the federal court system, which is probably what I'm thinking of. Civil rights violations by the county fiscal officer and the department of the tax commissioner for not properly supervising the computer-assisted mass appraisal process as is required by law. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. Mr. Orardini.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Reno Orardini, on behalf of Cuyahoga County. Yeah, majority of my arguments are already covered by my co-prosecutor, Mark Renfield. And as to Mr. Morton in his brief, has eight assigned to heirs, and I believe all but the first assigned to heir and half of the second assigned to heir are covered by Moskowitz. In summary, regarding the discovery dispute, Mr. Morton has cited First Energy in his brief, and that actually does not help his case. And it outlines procedure for what happens when somebody attempts to call witnesses at the Board of Revision and there's noncompliance and a decision is still made. But the ultimate discovery venue is the Board of Tax Appeals, and any discovery that you can't obtain, whether valid or not valid, at the Board of Revision, you have the opportunity to obtain at the Board of Tax Appeals, which Mr. Morton admitted that he obtained at the Board of Tax Appeals in his previous argument.
So let me interrupt you. I want to ask you a question that I posed to Mr. Morton. His contention is that this property is worth $6,000, and we have in the record a quit claim deed from MDA Fund to Gewaldig. Up in the top left-hand corner, it says $6,000. The transfer was November of 2009. The BTA did not discuss that. It looked like it was part of an exhibit that you submitted. I think it was Apelli's Exhibit C. Do you dispute that this property transferred at this time period for this amount of consideration?
No, but there's two points to that. One, the reason that the Board of Tax Appeal focused on the March 9, 2010 sale from Mr. Mann to himself was that is the date that he has on his complaint, and that's the sale he focused on. And they also, but they did address that was not valid because it was 33 months and it was too remote.
Well, just because he puts it on the complaint, I mean,
well,
does this run to jurisdiction? I mean, does he have to specify all the evidence that he's going to use in this case?
It goes to the burden of proof, and it's a remote sale. But even if you were to consider the November 24, 2009 sale, that's even more remote. That's 37 months, so it does not help his sales argument. But with those sales arguments, that's one of his arguments. He said that his value is based on a sale. That would negate his appraisal argument. You can't have both in this situation. You either argue that my property is worth the sale, or you attack, which he uses the word attacks the mass appraisal system of Cuyahoga County.
Well, let's think this through. I believe Akron said if we're talking about a sale and it's beyond 24 months from the tax lien date, we're going to presume that it's not recent. However, this presumption can be overcome with evidence showing that the market has not changed or the property's character has not changed.
Or an arm's length sale. Mr. Mann has never appeared at any hearing to testify to what if it was an arm's length sale or not. The only person is this Vladimir Victor that appears in every case, and nobody knows what every case he has a different title.
Well, maybe,
but he admitted that he did not know anything about the sale.
Maybe, maybe not, but the BTA is not even talking about this, so I don't even know if we can evaluate that without the BTA reviewing some of this evidence. Talking about the impact of this sale. I'm just confused as to why it's not talking about it.
Because he did not have his owner there to talk about the sale. That's what I would believe.
I mean,
if you're going to have testify regarding a sale, you would need the owner or the parties there that were involved in the sale, and they never appeared.
The province of the appraisals are within the board of, within the province of the taxing authorities to set the factual determination to set the value of a property. That is established case law. And for someone to come and attack the entire appraisal system of a county and say it's not valid, they would at least at a minimum need their own appraisal. And he doesn't even have his own appraisal to attack the county's appraisal. And to summarize the frivolity of his argument, these are his own statements at the Board of Revision. He says he doesn't have any comparable sales to offer. He's guessing at the value in his argument. He admitted he's not an appraiser. He has no firsthand knowledge. No, the owner has never appeared to testify. He's never had an appraisal. How can he come forward and say the valuation system of the fiscal office is flawed? He has no evidence. He would at least, at a minimum, he didn't want to spend $500 on an appraiser. That's another statement he said. would at a minimum need his own appraisal to attack the shift of burden for the fiscal office to defend their appraisals. And there's just simply never been any evidence in this case for the burden to shift. And there is no duty for the fiscal officer, no matter what testimony he has obtained, there is no duty for the fiscal officer to defend a mass appraisal when there's been no evidence set forth of a different value. As to his discovery issues, he had 5 hours of deposition testimony. He had 148 pages of, it's all a fishing expedition. He's never submitted any valid, competent evidence to shift the burden for the Cuyahoga County to defend its appraisal system.
What's your response to, these briefs tend to overlap a little bit. His first proposition of law in this case is the BTA failed to decide all the issues in the case, talking about the discovery issues. Do you have a response to that? And do you think the BTA has an obligation to decide every question that's raised to it if it's not directly related to the value of the property?
I think that's similar to last part of Moskowitz. If you look at the totality of the BTA decision, it's correct. Each and every one of his individual errors are lack merit, and the board of tax appeals denied his motion to resume the deposition because his motion was untimely. That's a valid decision.
And then how would we review the BTA's rulings on that? Is it a de novo, abuse of discretion?
Abuse of discretion. Pursuant to rule. So he was untimely by rule, and they followed the rule. And on that train of thought, he admitted that he was not harmed because he said it himself, that he obtained all the information he needed at the BTA level. And he didn't resume that deposition, they still subpoenaed the parties that he wanted to depose. So he got another 148 pages of badgering witnesses at the BTA level. I believe that he has not submitted proper evidence to shift the burden to the county, and the decision should be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Orardini.
Thank you.
Mr. Morton, you have 6 minutes and 50 seconds left.
How much, sir?
6 minutes and 50 seconds.
I just want to point out regarding the evidence is the value of the subject property. There was the sale back in 2010 for $6,000. And that's
2009, I thought it was. November 2000.
Right. Whenever it was. Whenever it was, that's a matter of public record. It's subject to judicial notice. All you've got to do is go onto the website of the fiscal officer.
Well, isn't it easier than that? It's in the record.
It's in the record.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Okay. So, and then I did submit some comparables on Wood, that particular street, because we think the comparables on Wood are more reliable than comparables on other streets, like, you know, two other streets, Crest and Middleton. So, and Mr. Victor, who was not the owner at that time, but he did have personal knowledge of the condition of the property, testified that the condition of the property was essentially, it hadn't been improved or remedied by January of 2013. So there's some testimony there. But this is another big problem with the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Tax Appeals has made up its own rule on the burden of proof. And the Supreme Court in the Moskowitz decision essentially approved of it by inference.
What did Moskowitz get wrong, in your opinion?
First of all, they allowed in unsworn, uncross-examined a report of an out-of-court, an appraiser, a BOR appraiser, who submits a report. And he doesn't testify under oath, and he's not subject to cross-examination. And I even, Mr. Moskowitz, I don't want to re-argue the Moskowitz case, but the court says that the shifting burden of proof theory of Moskowitz is not supported by the case law, is completely rejected by the case law. Well, that's just not correct. The Supreme Court misinterpreted the case law because they want a result. They want a result of high tax base, high revenue. The law regarding burden of proof is set forth in all the evidence treatises, Thayer, McCormick, Wigmore, all of them. There's a burden of production of evidence. Once the proponent has produced that evidence, it is assumed to be true, if it reasonably could be true, and that is the test for a directed verdict. And then once that's assumed to be true, then the burden of production shifts to the other side to rebut that. That's just basic evidence law for hundreds of years, which this court, which the BTA has made up their own standard, and this court seems to be approving of it. And that's a violation of due process. So the burden of production, that shifts. The burden of proof doesn't. The burden of proof is always preponderance of the evidence with the plaintiff. Preponderance, that's the greater weight of the evidence. This isn't a criminal case. It's not reasonable doubt. It's just the greater weight of the evidence. So that is the burden of proof, and the BTA law on it is just simply incorrect, and that was also the case with Moskowitz. The law is incorrect, as stated in Moskowitz, the law regarding the burden of proof.
What's your best piece of evidence that you're relying on to establish your proposed value? Do you have a best piece of evidence?
The $6,000 sale, and, it's not $88,000. Okay? It's not $88,000, and we'd like a chance to cross-examine the fiscal officer as to how he came up with that value. I mean, I know how he came up with it. It's in the record. So that's it. I mean, our burden of production, $6,000. County's burden of production, where is it? The CAMA system? The CAMA system is incorrect. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. Marshall, can we call an adjournment?
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Alamo Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.